Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. And as always, we ask you to invite your friends and family throughout the country to come join us, come and learn with us. There is so much information that you need to hear on more details of. So we are so grateful to God for all the great gifts that He gives us. But today, it's just going to be me and Miss Barbara, and we're going to be talking about things that we should pray for in times such as this. But tomorrow, we want you to join us as we are going to be joined by a new friend in Israel, Zev Porat. And with what's going on right now in that part of the globe, is so important that you be informed. So please be sure to tune in tomorrow. But right now, I'm going to turn it over to Miss Barbara Moore, who's going to start on the right foundation. Hi, Miss Barbara.
Hi, Diane. Good to be with you, and I'm looking forward to tomorrow. That's very exciting because of everything that's happening at this time in our world with Israel, and to be able to speak to someone there is just an awesome opportunity. So that'll be great. Well, today I wanted to start with a quote by Stonewall Jackson. It was back in 1863 at this time after the Battle of Chancellorsville. It was a great victory for the Confederates, but a very costly victory because Thomas Jackson lost his left arm. Now, when Robert E. Lee was notified about it, he exclaimed, Jackson lost his left arm, but I lost my right. He was, Thomas Jackson was Robert E. Lee's right arm. And they were such a fantastic team working together. Both of them dedicated, devout Christians. But it was in May. And when he lost his arm from, quote-unquote, friendly fire, he was mistaken for the enemy. He was fired at by his own men. And then after he lost his left arm, he died within weeks afterwards. So, but Chaplain Lacey was a friend of his, and after he lost his arm, Chaplain Lacey visited him, and this is what Thomas Jackson said to the chaplain. He said, "You see me severely wounded, but not depressed. I am sure that my Heavenly Father designs this affliction for my good. I am perfectly satisfied that either in this life or in that which is to come, I shall discover that what is now regarded a calamity is a blessing. If it were in my power to replace my arm, I would not dare to do it unless I could know that it was the will of my Heavenly Father." One of the most touching acts that I've ever learned about in history, Diana, followed this. Chaplain Lacey took that left arm of Stonewall Jackson, and he wrapped it tenderly and carefully, and he carried it some distance to the church and to the churchyard and to the burial place, and he buried that arm of Stonewall Jackson. There is a marker there today that states, "Here rests the arm, the left arm of Thomas Stonewall Jackson." We are fearfully and wonderfully created in God's image and likeness, and we have such dignity and value in our bodies. Every part of us are to be treated that way. And that was the, you know, that was the preciousness of Thomas Jackson to Chaplain Lacey, that he would take that measure and reverently and bury that precious arm of Stonewall Jackson. There's much more to learn, much more to learn about our glorious history. So many beautiful moments that we can be touched, our hearts can be changed, our minds can be enlarged, and we can, it becomes a part of us. You know, what we read and what we learn can be a part of us. That changes us, and it helps us to see more clearly and in a different way the preciousness of life, the noble actions of others, and to appreciate them. And you know, we ourselves are changed, and we act differently because we think differently. So, you know, I want to say a big amen to David Barton's exhortation to us to learn about our history. It is a glorious history, unequaled in the history of mankind. So I encourage that. But right now, let's address our Heavenly Father. Mm-hmm. We are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, of which Stonewall Jackson is one. Our dear Heavenly Father, how grateful we are, O God, to you for the blessings of those who've gone before us and who have left us so much to hang on to learn from, to be inspired by, to be ennobled through. We thank you, Father, that it's your hand upon them, Lord, throughout our history that made such a difference, that made what they did, what they said, life-giving to us, of eternal value. Thank you, Father, that we can, we have eyes, Father, that we can read. We have minds. That, Father, we don't use them to their full capacity. And I pray, Father, for your people throughout the earth, that we will begin to operate in the capacity that you've given us, that we learn more and share more. And, Father, that it will be used to your glory and the good of mankind, what we learn. We thank you, Father, that your hand has been upon this nation throughout our history, from the very beginning, from the opening of the door, like Christopher Columbus in 1492. From that point, Father, your hand has been upon us. And just as it was his desire to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the heathen, the unknown land, Father, so it continues today in our land. There are many, Lord, who desire that the gospel be shared with others, Lord, who do not yet know you, love you, serve you. That's our desire here, Father, at City on a Hill Radio Show. Everyone involved, from the founder, Diana, from Pastor Wayne and Don Wildman and all those that join us, Father, it's our desire that the gospel go forth to the ends of the earth, that you might be glorified, Father, and have many, many, many sons and daughters come into your kingdom. Father, that they would be rescued through the atonement and the saving blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, there is room at the cross for each one of them. And we thank you, Father, for our entrance into you, Lord, and into your kingdom, Father, through the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. How blessed, how precious is that blood. It cleanses us from our sin, Lord. Thank you that you impart the righteousness of your dearly beloved Son to us when we come in the door, the way, the truth, Jesus Christ. And we surrender our lives to you. We thank you, Father, now for this time on the air. Lord, that we would speak what needs to be spoken. And, Father, that there would be blessings that come forth as a result of this broadcast being shared. We ask your blessing upon our leaders, every one of them, that they might grow closer to you, Lord, that they would have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart and mind to know and understand you, Lord, and your purpose and your what is right in your sight, and then do it. We pray that for our leaders, Father. We pray that for leaders all over the world, especially Israel, your chosen people, your chosen land. Bless them, Father, in every way. Prosper them, O God, in every way. And bless our troops and their loved ones in a mighty way, Father. Protect them and preserve them. And help us to see what we can do to help our troops and to bless Israel. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you, Miss Barbara. What a word of encouragement. And it stemmed from you reminding us of history. And I just think, Ms. Barbara, about the Holy Scriptures, you know, it is really a reminder for us of history, of God's hand in the lives of people and nations. And I was thinking, you know, God had told them in Jeremiah to write it down. I think it was chapter 31. And I myself, you know, have started writing down a little bit of the history of what's going on in my life. And it really is so awesome to remember the history because it helps you focus, because times are not always going to be good. That's one thing we can know for sure until we're in heaven. It's going to be a bit of up and down. And, you know, as you just told with, you know, that story of Stonewall Jackson, you know, and also I just turn the Bible, which I love to do, and I'm here looking at Daniel. And we know what happened in Daniel for us that have read the Bible and read his story, you know. He never turned his back on God, no matter what. I'm looking at a scripture here that, you know, is pretty much, is dealing with chapter 3, verse 12. That, you know, they're going to worship, you know, their God, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, whatever and they were going to take a stand. Whether God rescued them or not, they will serve God. And I know there's a lot of people out there that's going through hard times, unfortunately. We're seeing a lot of things that, unfortunately, our government is doing that makes it harder on families, harder on workers, harder on people. But it's so wonderful to remember that there's nothing new under the sun. As you just shared with Stonewall Jackson, as we find in the Bible, in God's Word, you know, there were men that stood, and we can do the same thing. We can stand, and too, it helps me when I feel bad, of course, you know, to remember the victories of where God had brought me through, and that, you know, and believe that when he said, you know, with God, all things are possible, and really they are, you know. It's just sometimes I can't seem to get past the point of where I'm at right now. I'm not seeing the end of the road, so it's kind of sometimes I find myself having a hard time with that. But God in his goodness has already given us examples. And, you know, we continue just like Stonewall Jackson, just like Daniel. You know, they're going to continue to serve their awesome God and be at peace with whatever is ahead. So I'm grateful for that. Thank you, Ms. Barbara.
Oh, you're so welcome, Diana. And it just blesses me to share the words of those that have gone before us. And you know, it used to be, Diana, that Americans knew all these stories, all of them. You know, it used to be that these names were household names, you know, that, and you know, what it does, you know, like take Stonewall Jackson, for example. Golly, every Southern boy, at least, growing up, knew all about Stonewall Jackson. But he was orphaned at, like, age 3. He did not have an easy life. And if children read about him and read about others who experienced hardships like that, Jackson was raised by an uncle who was not particularly sensitive or sentimental. He had a lumber mill, and that's, you know, he grew up around that, and you know, but he overcame all the hardships through Christ. He became a Christian, and he overcame all hardships through Christ. When he entered West Point, he was at the bottom of the class. He did not have the blessing of formal education, and he barely squeaked through that first year. And he, at the end of that first year, he was at the bottom of his class. But he worked hard. He worked hard every day. And so, you know, the next year, he moved up a bit. And the following year, he moved up a little more. And he said if he hadn't graduated from West Point, if he continued on year after year, eventually he would have been at the top of his class.
Yeah.
You know, hardships to overcome. Well, Americans in years past grew up reading these stories. They knew these people. They knew that, you know, they may face difficulties in their own lives, but they knew a whole host of others that had gone before them that had it much worse than they. And so they could see where it was possible to overcome all difficulties in Christ and to be an overcomer and to still accomplish great things. But that's gone. That's gone. History has been erased and revised. And no longer do little Americans grow up learning the history of their country. It's not there. It's not taught. It's not taught anywhere. The only possible place where, and that's just probably few, and that would be in homeschool, where children are provided old books to read, because they're taking these books, they've taken these books and discarded them out of all libraries, whether public or even private school or Christian school they're not there anymore.
Wow, and that was probably part of what made that term exceptionalism, you know, be the mantra for a lot of people, Ms. Barbara. They know they can attain great heights through perseverance, hard work, because they've seen others and they've read the stories. But, you know, when you look at what kids are reading these days, and somebody, I think it was Sharon Sewell that sent me something about some of the things that's already in schools, it's just really very shocking. You know, the pro-homosexual agenda has, in essence, hijacked the education system, them along with others that have plans for the minds of our children. And she sent me an author, and I can't remember the author's name, but this lady has a whole slew of books that's already in our public schools, and I had no idea, Ms. Barbara, but we are behind, and but hopefully parents are waking up. That's one of the things that God has given us the ability to do, is share with them good information about really what's going on in our schools, so that hopefully they can bring it up to their legislators, so that when the legislature, when the legislators talk to them, you know, they can tell them facts, Ms. Barbara, because unfortunately the legislators just don't understand what is going on. And know you've looked at the National Sexuality Education Standard that's already been written and is underway. And I'm thinking to myself, I would think if a legislator had known about it, there is no way that they would sign on board with something like these Common Core Standards.
Well, one would hope not. But you know, they have to bear responsibility, Diana, because they have a choice whether to look into it or not. And so, you know, we can say, well, if they knew, they wouldn't have done it. But you know, they have a choice, just like we have a choice. We can stick our head in the sand, and we could just listen to the quote-unquote experts that have actually gotten us in this place where we are to begin with, you know, with all the experimental education that's been so disastrous for our country, our education system, you know, or we can do our own research and we can be determined to find the truth. You know, finding the truth, searching for the truth, finding the truth is required by all of us. The Bible says if we have a love of the truth, we won't be easily deceived. Now, if we have a love of the truth, we are going to search for the truth and find the truth. Truth is to be found. And it is our responsibility, each one of us, to do that.
Now, Ms. Barbara, I am looking at an article, the Anniston Star, and I think you've heard something about the Anniston Star. They're saying here, a score for core, common sense prevails as Alabama holds on to Common Core standards. And it says, pity the Alabama demagogues if they're reduced to arguing against improved academic standards present in the Common Core curriculum, then the bullies, conspiracists, flat earthers, and other associates, sorted politicians who have traditionally found a welcoming home in Alabama are at the end of a long and sordid road. Isn't it sad, Ms. Barbara, that newspapers are promoting such lies?
Well, it is, and you know, no longer is there objective reporting. We know that they have been controlled. Actually, going back to quite a few years. They're owned by a conglomerate, and they pretty much print what they're told. And right now, the business people and the education people have made their decision that they're going to support Obama's ed, and they're going to support Common Core and this nationalization of education. That's been their decision. They've been sold on it. And They're not backing off no matter what facts are brought before them. You know, there was an editorial in the Dothan Eagle yesterday about Common Core, and it might have been Saturday. The reason I say that is if anyone wanted to look it up, they could. But it was a copy from an editorial published in the Montgomery Advertiser, and it was on the editor's side. It was not a letter to the editor. It was on the editor's side. Clearly, the Dothan paper is supporting the position of the Montgomery Advertiser. And it was very similar to what you read there in the Anniston Star. Very similar. And, I mean, they are drinking the Kool-Aid. They are spouting in lockstep. They are the propaganda about Common Core that it even had, Diana. And how many times have we addressed this at the state level, at the local level, and our guests on our show have pounded it over and over again. But it even had the propaganda that the standards, Common Core standards, are Alabama standards. Alabama worked on these standards, when the fact is that these are copyrighted standards, and we've been told they cannot be changed by the state of Alabama. They cannot be altered. They cannot be removed. Not one of them can be removed. And, you know, they are not Alabama standards. These are the federal standards for the national curriculum, Common Core. But, the propaganda is repeated by the newspapers.
Well, Ms. Barbara, I had told today, you know, things for us to pray for, and that is definitely one of them, is the children of America. Because when you have people like that that are willing to drink the Kool-Aid, and I'm guessing is green like the color of money, and worst of all, they're willing to throw children under the bus, or worse. You know, when you look at this national sexuality education, it's not national sex ed, it's saying national sexuality education standards. And what it says in here is on that it's not really just even going to talk about it. It's going to show them. And this is written by the leaders of GLSEN, Planned Parenthood, a 14-year-old sex ed writer who's now 17. She's been writing since she was 14. And one, it says right here, instruction by a qualified sexuality education teacher is essential for student achievement. Students need opportunities to engage in cooperative and active learning strategies, and sufficient time must be allocated for students to practice skills relating to sexuality education. And I'm thinking every legislator that allowed this to pass, Ms. Barbara, every parent needs to hold them accountable to really abuse. This is an abuse of the children's K through 12 national sexuality education standard, core content and skills.
Absolutely. It is child abuse. And these are taxpayer dollars going to fund child abuse by these people. And, Diana, you know, we've seen it coming. It's been happening, but now it's on steroids. The sexualization of our children is on steroids, and the perversion of our children has been placed on steroids with the Common Core Obama education. And why would we expect anything different with Arne Duncan as Secretary of Education and Kevin Jennings, the
President of GLSEN,
President of GLSEN and the just radical, aggressive homosexual who demonstrated techniques of fisting, one of the gross practices of homosexuals, and demonstrated this in Massachusetts at a workshop he gave. You know, so we're talking some radical sexualization here of our well, sexualization is radical, but real perversion. Diana, I wanted to mention also that this goes right along with the Council of Chief State School Officers, the sexualization of our children. This is their territory. It's an organization which every top education official in each state belongs. But it's a national organization. It's based in Washington, D.C., along with the National Governors Association, which is based in Washington, D.C. It's a federal thing. It's a national thing. It's not a state thing. But anyway, this council of chief state school officers sponsored these tests that were sent all over the United States, but they got caught in Illinois. These tests were on sex, and there were all sorts of obscene questions for the students, there was no way to opt out. There was no, even with the questions themselves, they had to choose between different obscenities and perversions. And there was not any way to answer none of the above or, you know, any avoiding of these obscene questions. So they got caught in Illinois. Well, all the way up the ladder, the education ladder, the leaders there in Illinois said, "Well, we haven't read the test. We didn't know that was on the test." Well, the state school superintendent, his name was Joseph Bagnolo, issued a public apology. It was that bad that he had to. It'd be like our state ed superintendent Tommy Vice coming out and issuing a public apology for the tests that were sent. Now, I don't know whether they were used in Alabama. They were used in a lot of states. Alabama could have been one. I do not know. This probably would have been during the time of maybe Joe Morton. But anyway, not only was a public apology issued by the state school superintendent, but when he explained, that they received these controversial questions and tests from, guess who? The Council of Chief State School Officers. So they're into perversion of our children. It had been for many years. This was in the 1990s, Diana. You know, and that was shocking back then, but it's ever so much worse now. And under Common Core, it's going to be on steroids.
Well, Ms. Vollmer, I'm guessing that really the parents need to be talking to their schools and finding out, when are you going to be teaching these things? And, you know, just look at their health courses or sex ed courses or whatever and find out when. And I'm guessing they need to really just let those children stay at home.
Well, I wish it were that simple. And yes, they need to do that, absolutely. But you have to know that the philosophy of education, not only in health, but in science, in whatever is being reading, whatever is being, the philosophy of education is very, very different from traditional American education. And so much of what will be taught in the Common Core is based on the Humanist Manifestos 1 and 2. And the stated goals of the Humanist Manifestos, Diane, their goals were to weaken marriage and family life, to downgrade parental authority, to change traditional attitudes towards sex, morality, and life, to substitute situational ethics for absolutes of right and wrong, and so forth. You know, so the philosophy of education in its entirety is what will be crammed down the throat of our gullible, impressionable children who do want to learn. And you know what, Diana? They do learn. They learn these things that are being taught to them. They do learn them. And it molds their character. It molds their mindset so that, it, you know, that in young people today, they have already been indoctrinated, and it's young people today who are very much, with few exceptions, but very much in favor of same-sex marriage, because this has been pushed on them and molded into their minds and hearts through the public education system.
Mm.
I mean, it's been happening, but like I said, this our Common Core is so much worse than what we've experienced thus far. I don't know that there would ever be any turning back once the Common Core is implemented full blast. I don't know. I think we would probably become very much like Sodom and Gomorrah
So you pretty much have to get rid of it then, Ms. Barbara. I guess, which we see even Georgia, who's been at it for years, is going to try. And, you know, we heard Jane Robbins talk about that and how that, you know, this coming year, the rest of the time this year and next year, I guess, before the session starts, they're going to use that as a time to enlighten many more people. So they're on course to not compromise, but get rid of it. As you're saying, you really must get rid of it. And I'm thinking not to get rid of it. I just was looking at, you know, we put on YouTube, Ms. Barbara, an audio really that was turned to a video with some pictures behind it of the Jackie, the mother whose son had a breakdown, you know, when Common Core came in. This child was filling their refrigerator door with all sorts of work he was so proud of, and now there's not. You know, that child, they have done damage to that child. But I looked at that that thing, and Ms. Barbara, there's people that posted, they're saying, my son was doing great in math, he's in first grade, now with Common Core, he hates it. You know, so there's probably so many stories, Ms. Barbara. And here's another one. She loved school and hated it until seventh grade, let's see. It says, not only did her school embrace the CC, but they also bought into Cisco. She must be from Texas, he says. They pleaded with the school board not to renew the contract, I guess, with Cisco, and they have watched her disengage. They are doing damage to the young people and their future, and it's so hard to build up. I know it's always easy to pull down, is what I've heard. You know, it's so much easier to pull somebody down than it is to lift them up. And it appears that Common Core has done a great job of that. So it's going to be important. I know we don't have much time, Ms. Barbara, with a special session ending in Alabama to the 20th, but I really think parents need to be calling still their senators and legislators and letting them know they're going to remember this. This is something that must not go away.
Well, I agree. We've got to do what we can, each one of us. We've got to do what we can and let our legislators know, let our governor know, let our school board members know, and our communities know about Common Core and how we feel about it, why it's wrong, and we want it stopped. I agree completely, and even though the legislature of the session is almost coming to a close, we need to continue making our voices heard in every way. We need to continue to pray and pray daily that we will have a miracle. It will take a miracle to engage the churches, the Christians, to wake up and get engaged in this battle for the souls of their children. You know, Diana, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10 says, be not deceived. Be not deceived. Either fornicators, those who have sex of any kind outside the marriage union, the marital union, either fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now the souls of our children are at risk and in terrible, terrible danger with all that is being taught to them in this common core sexualization of our children. In, you know what you said earlier about they also need time to experiment with these different sexual techniques, I guess, that they're learning or whatever they're learning in the sexualization part of Common Core. You know, think about that. That is so wrong. That is so wrong in God's sight and has been wrong in the sight of man as well until recent years. And, you know, now, of course, we see it blatantly displayed in every form and fashion, media known to man. We see it blatantly and flagrantly displayed and demonstrated for all eyes to see, including those of innocent children. Their innocence has been stripped. It's been stolen away from our children. And even in places where we trust, where parents trust their children to send them to school, that this would be happening in a school is just, it's just outrageous. And we can't stand for it. We've got to stop.
And it's like a bad script, Miss Barbara, you know, because even homeschoolers would like to get out of it. But, you know, they're making it even hard in that the textbooks are being forced to line up with this madness. And, you know, they're so busy tightening that vice grip that I think it's a time when, you know, everyone has to fight it together. I just think one nation under God. And I'm so glad there is an opportunity with the House of Representatives to defund it, as you've told us before, Ms. Barbara. They have the ability to defund this. They hold the purse strings. So we ask people to go to factscongress.com. There is a petition on there against this national education standards, the Common Core, and you need to be signing on. It's for free. I've looked at it last night, Ms. Barbara. It's, you know, it really needs to have all kinds of signatures. It's just a shame for it not to have millions because it's easy and it's free. So we ask everybody, go to factscongress.com, go to our website, cityonahill.tv. It's on the front of our website. We've got a link to it. So, and with Martha Roby on the Education and Workforce Committee, Ms. Barbara, we have a chance. We can impact this because Ms. Martha, you know, she will listen. So we need to be calling her, telling her our concerns, but she needs our support. She needs to be able to tell how, you know, how so many people are standing up against this. So if you're in Alabama, you certainly need to be contacting her office, going to that. And also, wherever you are in your state, you've got people that are in that workforce, education and workforce committee. Please contact them. It's going to be a valuable tool, Ms. Barbara, because we're going to have to go state by state, but we've also got to cut off the money, right?
Yes, indeed. And our House of Representatives can do that if they will do it. But they will not do it unless they are pressured to do it by the people. That's the thing. You know, they expect their constituents to voice their opinions. And if we don't, then you know, we're going to get whatever that representative by themselves think is a good idea. They need to hear from us because we do dictate their actions. We really do. And, you know, we need to, whatever action we're asking them to take, it needs to be in keeping with our American ideals. And this, you know, defeating Common Core, defending Common Core, is definitely in keeping with our American ideals and our constitutional principles. This nationalization of education is totally, totally, absolutely against the Constitution of the United States of America. So we remember when they took their oath of office in January at the beginning of this session that they read the Constitution. Remember that, Diana? That it was, they took turns reading the Constitution out loud. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do, Ms. Barbara. Yes.
Well, we know they've read it now. Will they uphold it? They took an oath to God with witnesses by, you know, God is their witness and the people of this country as their witness that they would uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States. The same as any soldier, every soldier who has been a part of the United States military in any capacity, whether it's officer, enlisted, whatever the position, they have to raise their hand toward heaven and take that oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States of America. And in doing so, this is the thing, in doing so, then they are upholding and defending the United States of America. But if they don't defend and uphold and support the Constitution, they're not upholding and supporting the United States. It's dependent upon the Constitution and upholding it. So, you know, we need to remember that, and we need to hold their feet to the fire, our representatives, and remind them of the oath they've taken to do just that. National curriculum is unconstitutional. Obama education, Common Core, is unconstitutional, and they've tried to get around it every which way by saying, oh no, it's the governor of our state wrote standards for this. The governor, it's the state's doing. Well, no, it's not. That's just not true. It's a national curriculum.
No. There's so much danger in not having the knowledge, and I look at our legislators and I just think of, you know, they really need to study. And but too, I'm almost thinking it's a spiritual thing, that battle too, because the thing that is, you know, it's just like that Aniston start, you know, they've perverted the word common sense. Anything that takes away the parents' rights, you know, to have control over their children's education, common sense should tell you, you cannot be for anything that does that. So, I, you know, it's so sad they have perverted these truths, you know, these words. And I wanted to really list other things to pray for, not just the education system and what's going on, but also our military, because now, you know, their freedom, you know, to be Christians is now, you know, under attack in the military. So, that's another one of those things. We need to lift up our military. And also, tomorrow we will be dealing with the Middle East, so we will be praying. That's another thing we need to be praying for is our, you know, Israel, the state of Israel. and really, you know, they're having to protect themselves and be on the offense, because to be on the other side would really the end of their nation, because they're such a tiny country, Miss Barbara, you know, and that's something that the world does not really even look at. Is, you know, look at all these great land that these other countries around them own and have and really could give the Palestinians a part of. But here's little Israel being forced into giving more of their land for peace, and yet they do not give peace. As a matter of fact, the only thing that would satisfy the other side is for them to be pushed out to the sea. So we have so much to pray for. But, Ms. Barbara, I thank God that our God is a big God, and nothing is hard for Him. And He wants us to be strong. And it's, you know, it's almost like, Ms. Barbara, I know if He wanted to, He could just do it in an instant. But there are things He wants us to do.
That's
He
wants us to be a part of this.
He
works through His people. We are His hand. We are His feet on this earth. We are His mouth. We are His ears. And when we surrender our lives to Him and receive His life within us through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, then we're to be His people. We are to speak what is pleasing to Him and to stand for what is right in His sight. Israel is the apple of God's eye. His eye is upon them, and they are His chosen people. And he who attacks Israel attacks God. Israel is surrounded by its enemies, and so we need to bless them, support them in every way that we can, and particularly in prayer. As the Bible says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You know, Diana, I was thinking Jerusalem is the place in Israel, the place in Israel, Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is mentioned, hundreds of times in the Bible as being the place for the Jewish people. And do you know that it's not mentioned in the Quran? You know, the Palestinians who are wanting to take over Israel. And do you know that it's not once mentioned in the Quran? You know, Mecca was where Muhammad was born, and then he traveled to Medina and gained his power there, came back to Mecca. So Arabia is... those are his stomping grounds, you know. And so, you know, for Muslims to claim Jerusalem is disingenuous at best, you know. But again, you know, you got to know history, and you got to know it, and so you'll be able to evaluate these positions and these statements by people. And. And of course, the Bible is the best history of all. It's much more than history, but it is history, and it's true. It's true history. So, you know, we need to. And you know, I love the way that the Lord tutored me. He really did. He tutored me, and He's still tutoring me. He is my teacher, and. But I read the Bible over and over again, some numerous times before. That's what gave me a love for history. I did not have that love of history until I gave my heart and life to the Lord, and then I began reading His Word. And. Mm. But seeing Him and His hand upon us, that just opened my eyes so much. So then I began to read American history and world history and American history, and see His hand upon people, different people, and how they responded to him and were able to accomplish great things, and how when people did not respond to him but rejected him, what happened to them, and the results that took place, and the tragedies for people, you know, and but just to see him in all of history and all of life. You know, it just became so interesting to me because of that. So, you know, anyone who hasn't studied history yet, boy, I just encourage everyone to start with the best and read the Bible from cover to cover, and see God in all of life, absolutely all of life.
Miss Barbara, you and Pastor Wayne has made history so much come alive in my mind and my sight, and I love it too, because as you said, you know, when you see the work of God really in the history of this nation, the world, it just humbles you. And I really, you know, it makes you really know that, you know, with God, nothing is impossible with God. And, at the end of the show here, I am going to ask you, listeners, to please pray for City on Hill. We're venturing on something new that we've not done before. We have put a donation tab on our website, www.cityonahill.tv. We are 501c4, but we ask you to be in prayer and partner with us to help this show stay on and really to enlarge, because I believe that God wants to use it to promote his goodness, his truth. And it's really so important, as you know, when I share that about the Aniston Star, it's so sad. We wish that we wouldn't even have to do this, to tell you the truth. Our lives would probably be much easier if we did not have to do the Blog Talk Radio, the show. But this is a calling from God, and it's because there is need of it. And we saw that with acknowledgement of God, but God answered a prayer, and Judge Romore is put back in his rightful position as Chief Justice. So we know that with God, nothing is impossible. That right there was like a dream.
That's
so
right.
I'm believing that if you will partner with us, give whatever you can, $10, whatever it is, one time or monthly, just go. There's a donation button. It goes to PayPal, and it's very safe and secure. You know, PayPal is. And just give a one-time gift or whatever you want to do. But please partner with us. I'm so excited, Ms. Barbara, because we've never done this before. We've been on since 2004. And I'm just thinking, you know, why not let the people be part of a blessing? Because it certainly has blessed us. And we're hoping that you will help it to be a blessing to more people and that more people will be able to hear it. So with that in mind.
And, you know, we also need to mention that this is not tax deductible, that we kept a C4 status so that we could speak our minds and not be limited or restricted in any way by the federal government with the topics of conversation, as the churches are limited and restricted. So I think that's important to mention, but this is a real opportunity to give and to invest in a work of God. You know, Diana, I think back over the years you know, from the very beginning, one of the things that I just love that is just so foundational with City on a Hill radio show is the prayer that we always try to start and close in prayer, because we recognize that apart from God, we can do nothing. And what better, oh my, to acknowledge God and to thank him, and we want to be a blessing to him. And, you know, so prayer is the foundation of everything we do. And listeners, I did want to tell you this too. It's not just on the radio that Miss Diana is always praying. It doesn't matter what it is or any day. It's always, well, let's pray. You always give that exhortation and invitation for us to pray together at all times. So it's just a blessing, Diana, and I know that our listeners will be blessed to be able to give into this ministry. And I thank you for being such a person of prayer, because you have encouraged me in that so much, and I just appreciate it very much. And speaking of which, it's time to close down. Would you like to close us in prayer today?
Oh, I will. Thank you, Ms. Barbara. I just I praise God for all the things that He's doing, and I just love this. I'm gonna go ahead and start off with a praise from Daniel in Daniel 2, if you don't mind. Daniel said in Daniel 2, verse 20, he said, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are His. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with Him. We thank and praise You, O God of our fathers. You have given us wisdom and power. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank You for those words, Lord, of praise from Daniel, who knew that without You, he can do nothing. And, Lord, we are the same. We are nothing without You. And, Lord, we just invite the listeners, Lord, even those that, Lord, may despise the things that we have talked about, Lord, we ask that, Lord, You have mercy and allow them to see Your amazing love for them, that You don't just love me and Miss Barbara and others, that, Lord, You love them too. And, Lord, I just pray that You'd help them, that You'd lift the burden that they've had in their hearts, Lord, to prove to the world that the world is wrong, because, Lord, surely their lifestyle is right. But, Lord, I pray that You speak to their heart, and that they would see, Lord, that You are the God that is able to give the peace that passes understanding. Let them come across somebody, Lord, that they cannot understand how that person can have peace when everything around them is falling apart. And, Lord, let them see that it is because of the God that we serve, Heavenly Father. Lord, we hear about the news with Israel and the coming war. Lord, we hear that, Lord. But, Lord, we are not afraid. How can that be, Lord? It's because, Lord, You said You give us a peace, not of the world gives, Lord. And we thank You for that peace that You give us, Lord. We do pray, Lord, for Israel. We pray for the peace of Israel, Lord, Heavenly Father. We pray for Your mighty hand upon them, Lord, the apple of Your eye, Lord. We pray for Your protection and guidance, Lord, upon them. And, Lord, we ask that You would also protect and guide us. And, Lord, help us as we continue to fight the fight, Lord, to acknowledge Your ways, Lord, in everything. Acknowledge You, Lord. We pray for a blessing upon the listeners. Lord, may they use what they have heard today to share with others, Lord. Help them to look at the children, Lord, and out of love, stiffen their spine so that they can make a stand, Lord, so that these children will not be abused, Lord. Not be abused. And Lord, we just pray for pastors and lay people in the churches all throughout this land that their love for the children would supersede their love for stature, their love for prominence in their churches, Lord, and even their love for, Lord, numbers. Because, Lord, sometimes we know that this will send discord and, Lord, where others will fall away. But, Lord, we are now battling for souls of children at stake, Lord. And we ask that You equip us, that You please have mercy upon us. And we ask these things, Lord, in the precious name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Ms. Ball, I'm going to let you close if you don't mind.
Okay, thank you, Diana. Well, listeners, we thank you for joining us today at City on a Hill Radio Show. Remember, tomorrow we're going to be hearing from a new friend in Israel and hearing the latest about what's going on. So please remember to tune in at 1:30 Central Time and join us. Come learn along with us and be informed, inspired, and then involved. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. And may God bless America. Thank you. Bye-bye.